But welcome to church today. I need to say that at least four or five times a day. It's important, because if I don't, then I wouldn't be a usual pastor. I wouldn't be a normal pastor. And so I just need to say welcome to church a whole lot of times. I need to tell you something. This is both a confession and a celebration. Every week that I've been here, except 1 week so far, every week that I've been here except one, there's been people from Victoria, from my last church here. That's pretty cool. And this morning I realized something, that people are sort of trying to peg me, you know, like, who is this guy and what is he about? Like last week I've realized that people are really watching to see if I'm Tim Hortons or Starbucks. People are watching closely on that one. You know, I need to be careful. If there's a slight thing, so like the first week I was here, I talked about Tim Hortons and the miracle it would be if I got a roll up the rim win, and people came up to me with wins. And then after that, I went to meet someone for coffee, and they said, "Oh, I didn't know you drink anything but Tim Hortons by the way you talked on Sunday." I thought, I just talked about Tim Hortons one time, and it's like, no, you have to pick a side, Tim Hortons or Starbucks. Like, that is the only way. I sort of feel like I'm going to start to do some funny things to throw you off. Like, one day we'll do a big Starbucks giveaway. Here's a Starbucks gift basket. And next week I'll get a job at Tim Hortons or something on the weekend. You know, you'll walk into Tim Hortons. But what? I thought you were Starbucks. I'm just going to sort of mix it up and see what can happen with that. But I noticed that everyone's trying to peg me that way. And then also, I think when I mentioned Victoria, people are saying, wait a sec. Is he Courtney or is he Victoria? Which one is he? He can't be both. Is he Courtney or is he Victoria? And just so you know, Kendall and I love the Valley. We love being here. This is amazing. Victoria doesn't have a ski hill, okay? And I know that's a sensitive issue this year, because neither do we this year, but at some point we will again, and Victoria won't. They'd have to build a mountain. So that's a big thing that we've got. But we love the Valley, just so you know. But I tell you that I have friends here today from Victoria, because I want you to know something bigger than whether I'm Courtney or Victoria. The answer is Courtney, by the way. But I want to tell you that there's something more important than that, is that the church stretches further than Courtney or just Victoria. That God's hand is stretching further than just Courtney and just Victoria, and also than just friends in Victoria and just friends in Courtney. God's hand is stretching out from the relationships here. And it's stretching out from what we're doing here and out from the places that we go. God is not limited to a city. He's not limited to a church. And so if you're here saying, this is my church and this is the place that God works and only here, it's just not true. I pray that God would absolutely just absolutely blow open the walls on every church in the city and allow so many people to come in that they all have to build bigger churches. I pray that every church in this valley would be bursting at the seams. I pray that when they open the doors on Sunday mornings, people would flood in, because everyone's got stories to tell about what Jesus is doing in their lives. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see, if other churches get bigger than us, so be it. Okay, what we're going to do is exactly what Jesus asks us to do. I think that's where we should start. And that's where we'll finish. And I hope every other church in the valley does the same thing. And I hope because of it, many, 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 many people come to know Jesus Christ. And that we can go to heaven. One time I used to pray for this, one school all the time. It was a school right in our neighborhood. I'd pray and pray and pray, God, I want revival. I want revival there. I want revival there. And there were all these things starting up at other schools in the area. And I'm like, why isn't it happening in my school? These other places were doing incredible things, but why isn't it happening at this one school? Why isn't it going on there? I want revival. I want it to be seen that there's going to be revival. And if we'll pray, that revival will come. And I remember Jesus saying to me, Evan, I'll bring revival when you stop needing it to be through you and you start letting it be through me. I guess so. You know, if we want to see something incredible with God in this valley, we need to stop thinking it's just going to be us that's going to receive the blessing of that. There's going to be churches all over here, all over here that are going to be just shocked and amazed by the incredible things that God is doing in the valley. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. So it's going to be good. Next week, we're going to start talking about church and why we're doing what we're doing. So make sure you come back for that. But this week, to the cross. We're wrapping up this series. We've talked about, last week was Easter. We followed Peter's journey all the way with Jesus and the cross for the last 5 weeks. The first week we talked about how Peter said, "No, Jesus, you're not going to go and die. I don't want you to do that. That would be really inconvenient for my life." And so he said, "I don't want my friend to die. I don't want bad circumstances to happen in my life." And so he sort of tried to put a stop to it. He sort of tried to say, "No, that's not supposed to happen here with me." And sometimes we feel like our circumstances, when they're bad, it means that we're not blessed. But God doesn't say when your circumstances are bad, you're not blessed. He says, "You can be blessed to know that I'll walk with you through your circumstances." The next week, Jesus took up the cloth and he started washing his disciples' feet. And his disciples were like, "That's a shameful thing to do. You can't wash our feet. You know, you're too powerful of a person." And Jesus started showing them that the power of God is actually given to become less than everyone else so you can serve everyone else. Power of God is actually given so that if even through shame, you can love people. It's a pretty neat thing. Pretty cool thing that we're called to. The third week we talked about brokenness. And Peter was completely broken because he betrayed Jesus 3 times, but he also fell asleep on Jesus. He fell asleep while Jesus was praying and sweating blood 3 times, and Peter just kept falling asleep and betraying him. And then last week we talked about the idea that sometimes that brokenness, though we needed it to know that we need Jesus, sometimes we use that brokenness to lead us to the cross. But then we allow that brokenness to leave us at the cross. We never move on. We never get to a new place. We never see new things in our life. We never experience the life that Jesus Christ has for us. And then this week, we're going to do one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It's the moment when Peter's out fishing with some of his friends, some of the other disciples, and Jesus shows up on the shore. And it's just one of the best stories that's ever in there, because Jesus shows up and reminds Peter. This is the spoiler. I'm giving you the end of the sermon already, so once I say this, you can leave. Jesus shows up and says, hey guys, just so you know, nothing has been lost. In fact, we're ready to move forward again. In fact, we're ready to step into it some more. In fact, we're ready to see greater things happen. In fact, the very dreams that I planted in your heart originally have not been taken from you because of your brokenness or because of your shame or because of the things that you've walked through or because of the challenging circumstances or because of your betrayal of me. Those things have not taken away the dreams and the promises I have for you. And I'm here on the shore to tell you that. It's a cool time. So I want to talk to you about the idea that we need to learn how to follow through on the follow you commitment. Sometimes we've said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go," but then we don't follow through. Today we're going to talk about how to follow through on the follow you commitment. First thing we do is this: don't let what you're good at keep you from what you're called to. John 21:3-6. We're going to be in John 21, by the way. If you're following in your Bible, you can crack it open to John 21, and you'll barely have to move from there. John 21:3-6. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. Simon Peter and his friends are hanging out there. Jesus has actually shown up to them twice already after he's been risen from the dead. And now they're out just hanging out, doing their thing, and thinking, "You know what? Let's just go do some fishing. Let's go and hang out and do what we've always been good at anyways. Yeah, I know Jesus talked to us about some other things, but we could just go fishing. We're pretty good at fishing. We're pretty capable. Let's go fishing." They say, "We'll go with you." So they went and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. That night they caught nothing. It's funny that sometimes even when we're doing what we're best at, it accomplishes nothing in our life. There's still something I want in my life. There's still something I need in my life. I'm doing what I'm best at. I'm good at sports. I'm good at making money. I'm good at being friends with people. I'm good at counseling. I'm good at whatever it is that I'm good at. I'm good at this thing. But even when I do it, I'm still not getting what I need in life. There's something missing. They caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" I like how Jesus does that. Just just looking for some conversation here, guys. Haven't you caught any fish? You know, it's actually poking fun, I would think. You know, you haven't got any results in your life. You haven't gotten where you thought you'd be by now. You haven't fulfilled all the dreams that you thought were in your heart. You haven't accomplished all the things that you thought you would have accomplished by now in your life. Haven't you got any fish? Come on. You guys are fishermen. You're the best fishermen out there. You've had businesses in that. The family's had businesses in that. You went out to go fishing. Now you've hung out with Jesus. Here you are. You should be great fishermen. Haven't you caught any fish? Isn't your life going the way that you want it to yet, guys? No, they answered. He said, oh, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. I don't know if you remember the moment when Jesus and Peter sort of had the first moment where Jesus said, we're going together, Peter. But they were out in a boat as well. And Jesus said, hey, Peter, go ahead, throw your net into the water. And Peter said, come on, I've been fishing all night. I haven't caught anything. I don't want to do that, Jesus. That's too hard. I'm just going to have to clean out the net. There's no fish in this lake. And Jesus says, put down the net. Puts down the net. He can't even haul it in. And Jesus says, okay, Peter. Actually, Peter says, oh, Jesus, you're too good for me. I can't be here. He says, okay, follow me. I've got dreams for you, Peter. I've got things for you, Peter. I've got some exciting dreams for you. Hey, Peter, I don't want to just let you fish. I want you to fish people. We're not going to just impact the fish. When you go to heaven, you're not going to look around and say, hey, look how many fish I caught. You're going to say, how many people's lives did I impact? How many people could we do? Come on, Peter, come with me. Jesus starts speaking into Peter's life. Look at what I can do with fish. Imagine what we can do with this world. Imagine what we can do, Peter. Come with me. Let's go experience something great. And Peter says, I'll give up everything. Later, he says, I gave up family. I gave up my business. I gave up everything I had to follow you, Jesus. Which is why it was such a big deal when Jesus died. So here's the exact same moment happening again, where this guy on the shore, they don't know it's Jesus yet. I have no idea how they don't know it's Jesus yet. But he says, hey, put it down on the other side. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Isn't it cool that Jesus shows these professional fishermen that he's a better fisherman than them? That's a pretty cool thing. Jesus says, you're pretty good at fishing, I'm better. Jesus says to them, you can do whatever you want. You can pick the thing that you're best at. But even in your weakness, I can accomplish more through you than you could do in the best thing that you are at. Your greatest strength isn't strong enough. Who you could be on your own isn't enough compared to who I could make you to be. I had this youth one time walk into my office and he was crying. I'm thinking, why is he crying? He was a really popular kid, loads of friends. He was an incredible athlete. He was about to go to provincials in volleyball. He was the captain of his provincial volleyball team, and he was also the captain of the basketball team. Basketball season was about to start up. He had everything going for him. He walked into my office and he's crying. I said, "What's going on with you?" He said, "I just don't feel God. I don't feel God. I don't know what he's doing. I can't see God. I can't see where he is. I can't see what he's trying to accomplish in my life. I used to have this relationship. I don't know where he is anymore." I said, "Well, what do you think is getting in the way?" He said, "Sports." I said, "How are sports getting in the way? You're so good at it. You're the captain of your volleyball team. You're the captain of your basketball team. How could those possibly be getting in the way?" He said, "I think God's asked me to give those up." I said, "Okay. Yeah, well, what do you think?" He goes, "Well, Evan, I think he's asked me that, but I talked to my coach about it, and he's a Christian, and my coach says he can work out the practices so that I can still do that, and I can still get to youth, and I can still come to church. Will that work?" And I sat across from him. I knew that wouldn't work, and I said, "What is Jesus actually asking you to do?" He says, "Cut it out of my life." He didn't go to provincials that year. I remember him sitting down. He just starts praying. He's like, "Lord, I want to do this, but I'm so scared because the only thing I've ever been good at is sports. This is what has made me who I am. This is what everyone knows me as. This is what some people are identified here. You know yourself as the hard worker. You know yourself as the one who makes great money. You know yourself as the one who's funny at all of the gatherings. You know yourself. People know you in a certain way." Well, this guy said, "I'm known for sports." He starts praying. I remember him crying. He stood up at the end of prayer. He's like, "Evan, I felt him. I felt God. He's he's here again. He's back again. It's so good. He quit volleyball. His entire team was really frustrated with him. So they're about to go to provincials. And then he didn't play his best sport, basketball, that year. And God changed his life. He's now in Bible school to become a pastor. Another friend of mine, one time, he was playing UVic rugby. He was the top athlete in the Okanagan 5 years. Every year he was in high school, he was the top athlete in the Okanagan. And he came to UVic to play rugby. We started a prayer group Tuesday mornings. We just started praying together. And at the end of that prayer group, he said, Evan, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I have to stop playing rugby. I said, well, what are you going to do? He goes, I need to be a volunteer youth leader. You're going to give up UVic rugby. People often get pulled off UVic rugby. They end up on Team Canada rugby. You're going to give that up for what? A volunteer youth leader at church. I don't know if God might be speaking to some people about volunteer youth leading right now. He said, I'm going to give it all up for volunteer youth leader at church. That guy. Yeah, would you like that? Okay, good. Some rugby. If there's some rugby players in the house, you might be hearing the Lord right now. And he's now a pastor, serving Jesus with his life. Amazing what can happen. Sports aren't going to finish it for us. Fishing wasn't going to finish it for these guys. And Jesus comes and says, I need to remind you guys, you're good fishermen, but I could even make you better fishermen. So now you maybe aren't even that good at being fishers of men, but I'll make you great at it. I'll do something incredible with you. So the first thing is, don't let what you're good at keep you from what you're called to. The second is, nothing's been done that can't be forgiven. John 21, 7 and 9 says, then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. I love it. We come back to John who Jesus loved, the disciple that Jesus loved. And he looks over at Peter. Peter's still like, whoa, we got some fish. This is pretty crazy. Wow, we have fish. And this disciple says, Peter, it's because it's the Lord. What does Peter do? He all of a sudden realizes, what? It's the Lord? He wraps his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. Like they're in a boat, they could just get back into shore, but Peter jumps into the water, says, that's the Lord, and he's here for me. This is the third time Peter's seen Jesus. I don't know if you remember, but three times Peter betrayed Jesus, and now Jesus shows up on the third time, it starts clicking for Peter. He still thinks that I have plans in my life. He still thinks that I can do something. He still thinks that I'm good at something. He still thinks that I've got something. Jesus comes back three times for Peter to understand one time. I just sort of think that if you've walked away from Jesus a lot of times, he comes back to you every single one of those times. If you said, I'm out of here, I'm against him, or I've done this, or I've walked in that way, or I knew I shouldn't do that drug, or I shouldn't do that drinking, or I shouldn't treat that person that way. And Jesus comes back every time. Says, hey, I'm still on the shore. I'm here waiting. I'm here for you. I'm back. And Peter, all of a sudden it clicks, and he jumps out of the boat and swims to shore. Do you know if we just had a couple people acting this way in the church, this church would absolutely be packed full and we'd have to have like 10 services on Sundays? Imagine if you saw someone like this. He jumps out of the boat. Like you're waiting for influence in your life. This is how it comes. You live in a way that as if you start living as if you're forgiven. You start living as if God has done something in your life. And you start saying, I wasn't that good, but Jesus came to the shore. And he met me. Nothing's been done that can't be forgiven. Third one, stop asking for a sign that you're unwilling to see. How many people do that, hey? Lord, would you just reveal yourself? You know, I don't know if you've done that. Would you just reveal yourself, Lord? And then you look up and like, where's the fire? You know. Where's the tornado? There should be something here. Where's the sea splitting? Sometimes these guys weren't ready to see it. So John 21, 12 says, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. I love that he cooks them breakfast. That's awesome. Was it Starbucks or Timmy's? Anyways, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. I think it's funny that you have to say none of the disciples dared ask him. That's probably because previously some of the disciples did dare ask him. Like, hey, Jesus is risen from the dead. No, who are you? You're an imposter. Who are you actually? No, this isn't Jesus. This is some coincidence. This is a guy who looks a lot like Jesus and does some cool things, but we know that he went to the cross and he died. This can't actually be Jesus working here. This can't actually be Jesus. How many people, how often do Christians decide that I'm going to try to talk some sense into my faith? I'm going to try to talk down my faith a little bit. Wait. This probably isn't Jesus. Let's figure out a logical explanation for what's going on here, because that's probably more likely the reality. No, it's not. God is moving in your life. He's changing your life. Open your eyes. Paul one time prayed, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open to see the inheritance that is yours in Christ. I want to, it feels like when Kendall and I moved here, lots of things happened in our life. But I want to share one story that took place that was a really interesting coincidence. It was God. But anyways, we were looking for a car to buy. And we had had some pretty neat things happen with our house and some pretty neat things happen with Kendall's job. And then we're saying, okay, Lord, we need to get a car. So we started looking around and trying to pick out some prices, trying to match one to our budget. And nothing matched our budget of like zero. But anyways, we tried to figure some things out. And we eventually said, okay, we can work it out that we can pay right now $4,000 on a car. So we're like, okay, let's start looking. And so we're looking at vehicles. We had looked at CRVs in the past. So we decided we were going to get a 1997 to 2001, somewhere in there, CRV, because they were almost always around $4,500. And so I started looking all over Victoria. Every time that they would come up, they would sell. I had some friends looking in Surrey. I test drove some in a bunch of different places, and I just couldn't get my hands on one. It just wasn't working out, and they were all around $4,000 to $4,500. And so we ended up moving up here, and we said, I guess we haven't got our vehicle yet. Well, that's too bad, but whatever. And then I was going to go back down to Victoria, so I thought, I'll just check once again. I checked on used Victoria for a CRV. Checked it out. There's a 1998 CRV for $1,700. That's like $3,000 less. It's better for our budget. And so I'm like, what? Either this is a really bad vehicle and no one wants it, or maybe God is doing something here. So I was ready. I wanted my eyes to be open. I wanted to be able to see this. And so I drove down with my brother-in-law. I had to go down there anyways. And on the way down, I'm telling him about other things that seemed to be happening in life that were pretty neat. And we were sort of seeing some pretty special things happening in our lives and some miraculous things going on in our lives. And I said, you know, I'm just ready. If this is from God, I'm ready to accept it as if it's from God. I just want to see that. And so, Lord, would you just show me somehow that this is from you? Would you just show me that this must be from you? Because I'm about to find like a third the price, a quarter of the price of what I was looking for. So what's going on? So we're driving down. I talk to the guy. I find out, oh, great. The guy lives close to my mom's house. That's good. Driving close to there. Oh, actually lives on my sister's street. That's great. We keep driving along the road. I'm looking for the car and trying to see where it might be. See if it's like, you know, on fire or something. And, and we start getting close. I see the car from the distance. I said, no way, to my brother-in-law. And, we pull up and the car is parked in my sister's driveway. It was her tenant's car. I found the cheapest CRV that I've seen by a landslide. I found the cheapest CRV that matched everything else that we wanted sitting in my sister's driveway waiting for us. There's like 300,000 people in Victoria. It could have been in anyone's driveway. It could have been anywhere in the city. It could have been anywhere on the island. We could have found that anywhere. Crazy coincidence, maybe. Or else God is moving. Or else God is doing something in our lives. Or else God is up to something. And we can see it either way. And lots of people will pass those things off as coincidences. But if we want to follow through on the follow you commitment, we need to start seeing that the little things, or the big things, or the small coincidences in our life are actually God providing for us. And we'd open our eyes and start to say, I think God's actually doing something here. And since He is, I'm going to commit to it. And I'm going to go with it. And I'm going to follow through on what I originally said to Him, that I would follow Him to the end of the earth. So the three things so far: don't let your what you're good at keep you from what you're called to. Number two, nothing's been done that can't be forgiven. Number three, stop asking for a sign that you're unwilling to see. Number four, let your actions line up with your words. John 21:15-17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Jesus asks that because Peter had already said it. Yeah, I love you more than the rest. I'll go wherever you call me. I'm going to die if you're going to die. I'm going to prison if you're going to prison. I'm following you wherever you go. But then he betrayed him. And here Jesus says, do you actually love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. So, okay, if you love me, here's how I'll know and here's how you'll know. You'll take care of people. You'll take care of others. You'll serve other people. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I think Peter's probably starting to recognize that Jesus asked him three times. He's reminded that he betrayed Jesus three times. Jesus is reinstating Peter here. And he's saying, you're still good. And I still love you, but do you love me? I'll tell you something. The world will not be changed if we decide that we love that Jesus loves us. It'll be changed when we decide that we love Jesus. Because when we do, we feed his sheep. When we do, we take care of those who he takes care of. When we do, we pray for those who he prays for. We love those who he loves. We look out for those who he's looking out for. We care for those who he's caring for. If we just decide that we love that Jesus loves us, then we might be swimming in the shore and we might come and see Jesus. But then Jesus, what would have happened at this moment if Jesus said, do you love me? He goes, yeah, you know, it's I like that you like me, Jesus. I like that you're here at the shore. I'm ready to see what this relationship could look like. Like, I don't know. No. He says, do you love me, Peter? Because if you love me, here's how you'll know it in your life. You will act for others as I've acted for you. And I gave up my life for you. Will you do that, Peter? Will you do that? Number five. Accept that there will be sacrifices. John 21:18-19 says, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Any other time, that would seem like a crazy thing. Where Jesus says, someone walks up to you, hey, listen, I'd like to give you here's the way you're going to live. You're going to die a really bad death. So come on, let's go. Right over here, you know. That's a bad plan at any other circumstance. Don't follow anyone else to that place, okay? But Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, because of what God has done, because of what we've seen, because of the cross that we've talked about the last 4 weeks, because of the shame he endured, the brokenness that he took on, because of the circumstances that were less than ideal, the torture and the loneliness and the poverty that he undertook, because of those things, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Spiritual in that spot. Is the Greek word logikos, which also means reasonable. What is your reasonable act of worship? What is your reasonable response to God? There's a reasonable thing if someone goes and dies on a cross for you and says, okay, now I have died so that you can truly live. What is the reasonable response? Here Paul says, the only reasonable thing to do with that is to do the same for others. The only reasonable thing to do is to allow my life to be poured out for other people. The only reasonable thing to do is give more time than others would give. Is to give more of my effort, more of my encouraging words, more of my love, more of my potential. Christians should see more potential in people than anyone else should. We need to be looking at people who come in the church. We need to be looking at people who are in the valley and look at them and say, I see something that you can't see. I see something that no one else can see. I see something that your guidance counselor can't see. Maybe your parents can't see. Maybe your teachers didn't see. Christians see something that is greater in every single person because we have a Savior who saw it in us. That's who we are. That's who we are. It's the only reasonable thing to do. Let's be reasonable with that. Worship team, you can come and join me. The first was, don't let what you're good at keep you from what you're called to. The second is, nothing's been done that can't be forgiven. The third, stop asking for a sign that you're not willing to see. The fourth, let your actions line up with your words. Five, accept that there will be sacrifice. And six, don't compare. Stop comparing to other people. John 21, 20 to 22. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. The disciple who Jesus loved again shows up. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? You know, Jesus, they're having this nice conversation. And like, so Peter, here's how you're going to die. It's not going to be good. It's going to be hard. Follow me there, Peter. Go with me. I know you've betrayed me in the past. I know you've turned away in the past. But just come on, let's go there together, Peter. You're going to make an impact on this world. You're going to see something great happen in your life because of the way that you live. Peter, come on, let's talk about what that looks like. And Peter's like, what about him? Because that seems like he should have to do it too if I have to. And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You must follow me. Jesus brings him back to that original place. Now he said it to him a third time. The first time he says, follow me. After Peter says, you're way too great for me, God. And you're in a boat with me. And I just caught a lot of fish. And I'm seeing some miracles happen in my life. You should be a gone from me. And he actually says, no, I don't want to be gone from you. I want you to join me and walk with me through life. They start changing the world. They start seeing great and incredible things happen. They start seeing amazing things happen. And then Peter can't handle the fact that Jesus has to go die. And he can't handle even more the fact that he betrayed him as he went to do it. And so it's like, I just don't know about this. And then Jesus comes back and says, hey, do you love me? Because I love you. Because as you see, I'm standing on the shore. As you see, I've walked after you. As you see, wherever, however far you've gone, I've walked with you there. Wherever dark place you've been, I've been with you because I've just followed you along until you turn back and I can take you on. So do you love me, Peter? Because I love you. Do you love me, Peter, because I'm here? Do you love me, Peter, because I've never left? Do you love me, Peter, because I've chased after you? And if you still love me, follow me and feed my sheep. Peter, if you still love me, it's going to be hard, but follow me. Now you see the resurrection life that comes from following. And then this is the third time. He says, if you want to follow me, you got to stop looking at everyone else's life and wishing you had what they have. God can make all things new. God wants to do something in your life, not compared to someone else. We do that as Christians. We get together, okay, yeah, but I've been following Jesus for a long time, and why am I not on stage? Why am I not being used in this leadership role? Or that person's got a better job than me, and I don't even think they're... I heard them swear. You know, I saw some bad things that person did. I'm being a way better Christian than them, and they seem to be getting all the opportunities, and they're making more money than I'm making, and they're getting better jobs than I'm getting. Hey, wait, that person got a family. We've been trying to have kids for a long time. Why did they get a family? Hey, God, have you left me, or what's going on? Like, we quickly turn it on God and say, where have you gone? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you doing something for me? Why aren't you serving me anymore, God? Why aren't you giving to me? And Jesus said, hey, it's not about what that person's doing or what that person gets or what's going on there. I'll deal with all of that. But I want to know about you. Will you do what I've asked you to do or not? That's a big call. But if we will, we will know the fulfillment that won't come from us operating in our best talents, like fishing. We'll know the fulfillment that doesn't come from family We'll know the fulfillment that doesn't come from positive words and affirmations from people. We'll know the fulfillment that doesn't come from money, doesn't come from a new job. It doesn't come from being on a stage. It doesn't come from anything other than Jesus Christ. If we will go where He calls us to go, we'll know the fulfillment that death cannot take from us. Wouldn't that be cool if we were a church that lived that way? As if Jesus has made me new so that I can go and make new. Wouldn't it be cool if you were at work and you actually got to see someone who's down and out, someone who's just feeling depressed, and you got to start to pour out to them who they are and what they could accomplish and who they could become? Wouldn't it be awesome if you went to someone who's hurt you and you actually started to say positive words to them? Not just, hey, I forgive you because you're a really bad person, but actually say, like, hey, I see something great in you and you can accomplish great things and I want to see more in your life, and Jesus wants to move in your life. He hasn't left you. He hasn't left you. He's still on the shore. Sometimes we say, Jesus, thanks for coming to the shore for me, but that person's done something too bad to me. I can't go to the shore for them. You got to get to the shore for them. Jesus said, follow me. Where does He go? He goes after the lost sheep. The ones who have turned their back. That's where you'll find Jesus. And He says, come, find yourself there too. Come and do it too. Come and do it too. Come and see what the cross can do in your life. When everything else has died in your life, which is Peter, where Peter was at, he felt shame, he felt brokenness, he felt like he had given up his purpose and all his potential. When all of it was dead and he couldn't do anything on his own, Jesus came up and said, yeah, but I'm still here. And it's all forgiven. And I'm ready to move forward, Peter. Are you? Are you, Peter? Because I'm ready to make all things new in your life. Ready to make all things new in your life. Today, maybe you're here and you say, actually, I've never even known what that means. I've never known that Jesus wanted to make all things new in your life. Today, I want to tell you that you can turn to Jesus. He just says, come follow me. I believe in you. I created you for a great destiny. I created you for great purposes. I want to use you still. You may feel like you're not good at things or you've walked away too much. He says, no, come back. Follow me. If you're here and that's your heart today, let Him speak to you. We're going to sing a song that just says, you make all things new. Just allow that to be your heart today. Or if you've been a Christian for years and years and years, sometimes it's worse for you because you've forgotten what it means to have Jesus on the shore waiting for you. He's ready to forgive you for your arrogance and pride and for not going to the broken. He's ready to forgive us for that. Nothing could keep us from that forgiveness except our choice. He's at the shore. After the cross, He went to the shore. He showed them that He was going to wait for them. He was going to come to them. And Peter thought that was so amazing because he didn't deserve it. So he jumped out of the boat, swam in his clothes, had some breakfast with Jesus. As we sing this song, would you just grab some breakfast with Jesus? Allow Him to speak into your life in a way maybe He hasn't in a long time. He wants to make a new thing happen in your life. Out of death, He wants life. Out of poverty, He wants riches. Out of sickness, He wants health. Out of sickness of mind, He wants healthy thinking. Out of isolation, He wants you to know companionship in Him. All is in Him. All good gifts come from Him. Let's sing that song together. Could we just stand as a church and sing this song together?